Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Stocks are rallying around the world after President Trump says he's considering a capital gains tax cut.
Stimulus talks stall as coronavirus cases top 20 million worldwide.
And China signals it wants to ease tensions with the U.S., even as it fires back at the Trump administration.
A warning from Governor Cuomo to utilities after storm outages, plus President Trump's briefing was interrupted by a shooting near the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Long night for the Mets against Washington. The Rangers won the lottery for the first pick of the NHL draft.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager on a Risk On Tuesday morning. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher by 23 points, Dow futures up 279, NASDAQ futures up 65. The DAX in Germany, the CAC in Paris, both up 2.7%. The FTSE in London is up 2.3%. 10-year Treasury is down 6/32, the yield 0.59%, 2-year Treasury yield 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up 49 cents at $42.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 2%, down $41.10 at $19.98.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1790 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.07. John.
And we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but let's update you on the stimulus stalemate. Republicans and Democrats remain deadlocked over an aid package. Both sides agree that enhanced jobless benefits should be extended. But Republicans are balking at a Democratic proposal to give money to state and local governments hurt by the coronavirus. Here's Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I'd hoped the Senate would be spending this week turning a major agreement into law. But sadly for the country, sadly for struggling Americans, the Speaker of the House and the Senate Democratic leader decided we would not deliver any of that.
Virginia Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly.
Both Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have indicated we're ready any time. But you've got to have some serious counter proposals. You can't simply dig in your heels and ignore the devastation in the country, both in public health and the economy, and do nothing.
The stalemate comes as coronavirus infections top 20 million worldwide. Deaths have surpassed 736,000.
In the meantime, Vladimir Putin says Russia has registered the first coronavirus vaccine. Putin says the vaccine has proven efficient during tests, but many scientists have been skeptical, questioning the decision to register the shot before phase three trials that normally last months and involve thousands of people.
President Trump says he's seriously considering a capital gains tax cut. He told reporters it would create a lot more jobs.
You'll be hearing about that in the upcoming few weeks. And I think it'll be very exciting. So a capital gains tax is going to be a lot of people put to work, and it would be a cut in the capital gains tax.
The president can't cut taxes on his own, but some advisors say he could issue an executive order that adjusts the original purchase price of an asset when it is sold, so no tax is paid on appreciation for inflation.
Well, Asian stocks rose today with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index posting its best gain in a week to nudge toward February highs. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Japanese and Hong Kong equities led the gains. The Nikkei 225 up by 1.9% in Tokyo, while the Hang Seng Index rebounded from a six-week low after a three-day slide. Casino players rose on news China will start issuing tourist visas for Macau, while Tencent recouped some of its recent losses ahead of its second-quarter earnings due Wednesday. In Seoul, the Kospi rose for a seventh session in a row to hold at June 2018 highs, despite weak export data for the first 10 days of August. Tech stocks in Taiwan underperformed, sending the TAIEX down 0.9% in Taipei, while here in Singapore, stocks and the local currency fell after the economy suffered a bigger-than-expected contraction in the second quarter. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thanks, Juliet. Now the latest on the U.S.-China relations. Even as China continues to return fire at the Trump administration, leaders in Beijing are also signaling they want to ease tensions with the U.S. We get more from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
So President Trump had moved to ban Chinese apps, including TikTok and WeChat, then sent the highest-ranking American official to Taiwan in four decades. This drew a surprisingly and somewhat relatively muted response from China's foreign ministry. Even in its response to U.S. sanctions on Chinese and Hong Kong officials, including Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, that was somewhat mild as well. It didn't target any Trump administration officials directly. This is a shift in tone, and it follows some comments that were made by China's top diplomat last week, who said the door for talks with the U.S. remains open.
That's Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong. Meanwhile, TikTok's talks with Microsoft and Twitter are unlikely to end in a deal. That's according to the South China Morning Post, citing a source that says the price offered by Microsoft is too low, putting the chances of a deal no higher than 20%. The report puts Twitter's chances even lower.
On the economic front, we're going to get the July reading on producer prices. More in this report from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The coronavirus has rendered most monthly economic data irrelevant for the time being, and producer prices are no exception. Because the virus has slowed economic activity so much, prices at the factory gate have fallen. A drop in oil prices has also lowered the general level of input prices. So producer prices, particularly the core measure, are likely to reinforce that convergence to the Fed's 2% inflation target will be a protracted process. Significant spare capacity, combined with a stronger dollar, will overwhelm isolated patches of upward pressure on account of supply shortages. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thanks. Some of New York's largest employers say they plan to hire 100,000 traditionally underserved residents of the area within the next decade. The pledge made by the chief executive officers of 27 companies, including JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Amazon, is part of a new initiative called the New York Jobs CEO Council. Combined, the firms employ more than 3.6 million people. S&P futures higher by 24 points. Dow futures up 285. NASDAQ futures up 65 points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo criticized power companies, saying many residents are still without lights a week after tropical storm Isaias. Cuomo had a warning for utilities in his state.
Con Edison, your franchise can be revoked. And I'm as serious as a heart attack. PSE&G, you know your franchise can be revoked.
Cuomo said the utilities did a lousy job. There were still about 5,500 customers without power in New York City as of late last night, with about 4,000 in Queens. Meanwhile, Connecticut's utility company is under fire for its response to Isaias. About 36,000 remain without lights. There have been calls for Eversource CEO James Judge to resign. However, Governor Ned Lamont, during his news conference, said, "Every 2 or 3 years, there's a new CEO, and it's the same old story." New Jersey had similar utility issues. Meanwhile, Governor Phil Murphy took aim at bar patrons and partygoers during the coronavirus pandemic. Murphy called out some packed Jersey Shore bars.
So, folks, this is not a game. Standing around maskless in a crowd outside a bar is just as big a knucklehead move as standing around maskless inside one.
In New York, 19 more bars and restaurants were cited for coronavirus violations. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says a survey shows that the city expects more than 700,000 students to participate in the blended learning plan for the fall.
74% of our students planning to participate in in-person learning, blended learning, starting next month.
About 26% elected for remote-only digital learning. President Trump once again pushed for in-person classes, insisting kids are relatively safe from the virus. Medical professionals disagree with that. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci agrees schools are a priority, but only with proper precautions, including social distancing and avoiding crowds.
Because there's some situations where the risk would likely be very, very low, and there are others where you really have to be careful about making any move towards opening.
President Trump was abruptly escorted by a Secret Service agent out of the White House briefing room as he was beginning his coronavirus briefing. He returned minutes later saying that there was a shooting outside the White House that was under control. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:10 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. The Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Is John Stashower.
All right, John. Bad day all around for the Mets. They learned that Marcus Stroman, who they thought would be a big part of their rotation, has opted out of pitching this season. Then they lost to Washington at Citi Field, 16-4. Three Nationals, Juan Soto, Trey Turner, and the ex-Met Asdrubal Cabrera combined for four home runs, 10 hits, and 11 RBI. Steven Matz counted on even more. Now without Stroman, fell to 0-3. Stroman's decision took the Mets a little by surprise. He had been working his way back from a torn calf injury.
I threw 5 innings, 85 pitches in my last sim game. Felt really good. I've been working extremely hard with the staff these past few weeks to get back out on the field. So this is not something that I wanted. This was a collective decision from my family for our best interests because I'm such a competitor. It was incredibly hard to finally come up with this decision.
A decision that will cost them over $3 million. He'll be a free agent after the season. The Rangers may have had a disaster qualifying round series, swept by Carolina. They never had a lead, but that did gain them entry to the NHL draft lottery, which they won. And the prize is expected to be 18-year-old Alexis Lafreniere, who was twice named the top junior player in Canada. Stanley Cup playoff first round begins today. The Islanders have their game one with Washington tomorrow. College football in 2020, hanging by a thread. The Mountain West Conference, latest to announce it will not have a season. The Big Ten, disputing reports, it has voted 12-2 to not play. Pac-12 meets today. A report from CBS that the ACC still wants to play. It's estimated that each school would lose about $100 million if there's no football season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. The National Basketball Association has named a top investment banker to develop the sport and its business on the African continent. Victor Williams, who for the past 5 years led corporate and investment banking at Standard Bank Group, Africa's largest bank by assets, will become the NBA's new Africa Chief Executive Officer. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burtonllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. President Trump says he is considering a capital gains tax cut, and equities around the world rally. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 23 points, Dow futures up 291, NASDAQ futures higher by 59 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield now 0.60%. Yield on the 2 years up to 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3%, up 60 cents at $42.54 a barrel. COMEX gold down 2.2%, down $45.20 at $1,994.50 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. The confirmed number of coronavirus cases in the world has reached 20 million. The U.S., India, and Brazil have together accounted for nearly two-thirds of all cases since the world hit 15 million on July 22nd. Days after President Trump moved to implement scaled-down coronavirus relief to prod Congress into action, Republicans and Democrats remained deadlocked over a stimulus plan and gave no indication they were ready to head back into negotiations. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says that he's spoken with several Democrats, but not with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi or Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer since Friday. In baseball, the Nationals put a whipping on the Mets, 16-4. The A's lost to the Angels 10-9. The Giants also lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 6:19 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As you heard Michael say there, coronavirus infections breached 20 million cases globally after doubling in 6 weeks. It took 6 months, remember, to reach 10 million. Let's get an update on the pandemic and the fight against it. Joining us now, Bob Bollinger. He is Raj and Kamala Gupta Professor of Infectious Diseases, the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Doctor, thanks for being with us this morning. Those numbers we just cited, that reminds us of the devastation associated with logarithmic growth.
Absolutely, John. This is not good news. We're heading in the wrong direction, of course.
The U.S., which accounts for a quarter of all cases, you have hard-hit states that include New York, California, Texas. They, however, reporting falling hospitalizations. What solace can we take from that?
Well, we can take solace in the fact that if communities are able to implement strategies that are necessary to reduce transmission, they can be effective, including physical distancing, masking, et cetera.
But the virus is not at this point going to go away, is it? Or at least not by itself.
No, absolutely not. We're ultimately going to need a vaccine for that.
Now, Russia this morning did register its first coronavirus vaccine. The registration, they say, is conditional. I'm not sure what all of that means, but where are we overall on the path to finding a vaccine?
Well, we have a global effort that's really unprecedented in trying to discover a vaccine that'll be both safe and effective for COVID-19. And many countries, including the United States, are involved in that effort. We've got a couple of these vaccines which are in large-scale trials, over 130 different candidates in the pipeline. So there, as Dr. Fauci would say, we have a lot of shots on goal.
Is there evidence at this point that kids are less vulnerable? I'll pose that question to you as districts across the country are considering whether or not to reopen in the fall.
Well, let's define kids. We have some evidence that children under the age of 10 may be less likely to transmit, but they're certainly getting infected, maybe at a lower rate, and they certainly are less likely to get sick. Children, you know, over the age of 10, actually, in recent studies, looks like they're able to transmit as well or maybe even more effectively than adults. But again, those children under the age of, you know, 10 to 20 are going to be less likely to get sick. And so transmissions are going to occur and children are going to get sick, but at a lower rate, perhaps, than in adults.
What is the next thing we need to latch on to focus on as we continue the fight against this pandemic?
Well, I think the thing that's really getting everyone's attention now is opening schools. And, you know, the health challenges of reopening schools are obvious. We're already hearing about outbreaks that are occurring in schools that have reopened and infections in both students and teachers. That's inevitable as you open schools. The only question is, can we take steps that are going to reduce the likelihood that there are going to be large outbreaks that occur as a result of opening schools?
As far as universal wearing of masks, we've seen many instances of large gatherings across the country. I think of that motorcycle gathering out west where people are not wearing masks. Should there be a universal mandate?
Yeah, I just don't understand why people aren't following those guidelines. I mean, we know they work. We know they're important. We know that they're not only protecting yourself, but more importantly, protecting others. So, you know, we have lots of other mandates in this country for protecting others. We don't permit people to drink and drive or speed when they drive because they're putting themselves and others at risk. So we have other examples where, the public health can guide steps that can reduce the risk to all of us.
Doctor, you're one of the inventors of the telemedicine technology that Hopkins is using. Full disclosure, you do have a financial stake in that. But what role does telemedicine play in the pandemic? I have about a minute left here.
Well, let's take opening schools, for example. Telemedicine is a valuable tool to aid in symptom screening and screening for exposure. So these are tools that can be used as one aspect in the comprehensive approach to opening schools and identifying people at risk so that they don't come into the classroom, whether it be teachers or students. And additionally, screening for temperature and symptoms at home as opposed to in school can assist in detecting the outbreak early on, as well as prevent exposure as people are being screened in large groups when they come into the classroom. So that's just one example of how telemedicine can help.
Doctor, thanks a lot for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Dr. Bob Bollinger, Raj and Kamala Gupta, Professor of Infectious Diseases, joining us from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine this morning. As we look to the markets ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now, they're up 282 points. 1% rise this morning. S&P futures, they are up 23 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 53 points higher. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
We're at 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks rise around the world this morning. Equities in Europe are up more than 2%. Japan's Nikkei rose 1.9%. And S&P futures are higher, putting that benchmark on course to approach its all-time high set back in February.
And helping that optimism, President Trump says he's seriously considering a capital gains tax cut. Now, the president can't cut taxes on his own, but some advisors say he could issue an executive order that adjusts the original price, purchase price of an asset when it is sold, so no tax is paid on appreciation for inflation.
Meanwhile, Republicans and Democrats remain deadlocked over an aid package. Both sides agree that enhanced jobless benefits should be extended, but Republicans are balking at a Democratic proposal to give money to state and local governments hurt by the coronavirus.
And later this morning, the government issues the first of this week's inflation reports. July's Producer Price Index, a gauge of wholesale costs, Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In June, the producer price index dropped 0.2%, the fourth decline in 5 months. Pricing power has diminished across industry since the coronavirus plunged the economy into the deepest contraction since the Great Depression. Energy prices are also down in the aftermath of this year's price war and pandemic stay-at-home orders. The government will also issue reports this week on consumer and import prices. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. In Europe, UK employment has dropped the most since 2009. Bloomberg Daybreak Eurobanker Caroline Hepker reports from London.
A mounting labor market crisis only partly visible in the latest data. 220,000 jobs disappeared in the second quarter in the UK. Hours worked fell and pay excluding bonuses dipped 0.2%. But the unemployment rate stayed at 3.9% as people either couldn't or didn't look for a new job in lockdown, which means they aren't counted. The economic shock is expected to worsen. The furlough scheme, which has supported a staggering 9.6 million workers since March, winds down at the end of October. In London, Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Now let's get the latest on this risk-on rally this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher by 23 points. Dow futures up 278. NASDAQ futures up 56. 10-year Treasury is down 6/32. The yield is at 0.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.4%, up 61 cents to $42.55 a barrel. COMEX gold down 2.1%, down $43.20 at $19.96.60 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo lit into utility companies after thousands remained without power a week after Tropical Storm Isaias, including Long Island. Cuomo threatened to revoke the licenses of Con Edison and PSE&G.
It's not an excuse to say, oh, well, everyone was stressed and the mutual aid system was stretched thin. We know that's going to happen. It is inevitable. And that's what they're supposed to be prepared for.
There are still about 5,500 customers without power in New York City, with about 4,000 in Queens. Connecticut's utility company Eversource is under fire for its response to ESAEAS. About 36,000 remain without lights. Meanwhile, it's primary day in Connecticut. For families waiting to see loved ones in New Jersey long-term care facilities, there is some good news. The state released a plan to lift the CDC-imposed lockdown that was imposed during the coronavirus pandemic over the last 5 months. Governor Phil Murphy says the outbreak highly impacted the state's most vulnerable people and their caregivers.
They have borne an outsized burden of this pandemic. We cannot understate the enormity of either the spread or the loss of life within these facilities.
Vladimir Putin says Russia has registered the first coronavirus vaccine. Putin said that the vaccine has proven efficient during tests. Many scientists have been skeptical, however, questioning the decision to register the vaccine before phase three trials that normally last for months and involve thousands of people. President Trump repeated his concerns about voting fraud risks through mail-in voting this November. As some voters try to avoid polling places over concerns about COVID-19, Republicans and Democrats worry the volume of ballots could overwhelm the U.S. postal system. Researchers in Stanford recently said they found no correlation or political benefit to either party by a surge in mail-in voting over the years. President Trump abruptly left a White House news conference for a moment after a person was shot near the building, prompting Secret Service agents to usher the president out of the room. Trump returned about 9 minutes later and said the incident occurred in an area around the White House, but not within its gates.
It seems that the shooting was done by law enforcement at that person, at the suspect. It was the suspect who was shot, and this just took place. A couple of people outside.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. More than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, not a good night for the Mets. Their best pitcher was Luis Guillorme, who's a backup infielder. He pitched a scoreless ninth inning. By that time, the damage was done. Washington scored seven times in the fifth inning, a 16-4 rout. The Nats had 17 hits. Trey Turner and Juan Soto both had three hits with a home run. Ex-Met as Drubal Cabrera went 4-for-4, two homers, five RBIs. Steven Matz took the loss. He's 0-3, and the Mets won't have Marcus Stroman this season. He explained why he's opting out.
It ended up being a collective family decision for me, something that's been weighing on me daily. Just ended up sitting with my family and kind of assessing all the possibilities and realizing that there's just too many uncertainties, too many unknowns right now to go out there and truly just put in the help for my family and myself first and foremost.
Stroman has been working his way back from a calf injury. Yankees home tonight for the Braves as the positive tests continue. So do the postponements for the Cardinals, who have yet to play a game in August. Thursday's scheduled doubleheader with Detroit is now off. Baseball said to be considering moving everyone into a bubble for the postseason. Stanley Cup playoff first round begins today. The Islanders have their game won with Washington tomorrow afternoon. Meanwhile, they held the NHL draft lottery. The Rangers won the first pick, expected to take Alexis Lafreniere, an 18-year-old from Quebec. The Big Ten Conference disputes reports it has decided to not play football or any fall sports in 2020. The Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh says his team's had no positive tests in 2 months. He thinks it's safe to play. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Trump orders an anti-stimulus plan for struggling states. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. President Donald Trump and his advisors have said that they don't want to bail out some U.S. states. It seems they're willing to risk inflicting lasting damage to the economy to prove their commitment to this cause. As part of the president's orders to provide economic relief without Congress, he called for additional unemployment payments to restart at $400 a week, with states contributing $100 of that themselves. It's hard to overstate the difference between that money coming from the federal government versus the states, which are projected to face combined budget shortfalls of $555 billion through 2022. As much as Congress plays politics with the federal budget, in reality, there's no urgency to balance revenue and expenses. The U.S. controls issuance of dollars and always has a buyer of last resort for its securities in the Fed. States and municipalities don't have the same luxury. That means either reduced public services, higher tax rates, or both. In that sense, making governors kick in extra money from their own coffers is basically the opposite of economic stimulus. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:39 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
New York City is out to prove to other cities across the country and around the world that clean building laws can work and have a significant role in fighting climate change. Mark Chambers heads the city's Office of Sustainability. He says New York has an obligation to de-risk the work for other cities. Under the New York law, buildings larger than 25,000 square feet must reduce their carbon emissions. The amounts vary depending on the size of the building and type of occupancy. The Department of Buildings says only 4% of New York's buildings are that size. Retrofit requirements of the law don't kick in until 2024, but the city is already busy working out details on how the law will be implemented and how to calculate penalties. The city has yet to win over real estate agents and developers. Opponents say New York's law would cost a mid-sized apartment complex nearly $1 million a year. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
And Uber Technologies and Lyft have been ordered to convert their California drivers from independent contractors to employees with benefits. That story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's an early loss in a court battle the gig economy cannot afford to lose. The case brought by California officials to enforce a state labor law that took effect this year is the most serious legal threat yet to the gig economy and comes as many companies that rely on contractors for on-demand services are already reeling from the pandemic. San Francisco Superior Court Judge Ethan Schulman did agree to pause the injunction for 10 days so the companies can appeal his decision. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now up 24 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager on a Risk on Tuesday morning. Equities rising around the world after President Trump said he's considering a capital gains tax cut. Gold is slipping for a third straight day, and the dollar has turned lower against its major peers. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 270, NASDAQ futures up 57. 10-year Treasury down 8/32 now, the yield up to 0.60%, the 2-year yield up 2.14%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5%, up 61 cents to $42.55 a barrel. COMEX gold down 2.1%, down $43.50 to $1,996.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1799 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is said to be closing in on an announcement of a running mate as early as midweek, having completed interviewing all of the top candidates. A natural gas explosion has leveled 3 row houses in Baltimore, killing a woman and trapping others. The Seattle City Council has approved proposals that would reduce the police department by about 100 officers through layoffs and attrition. After an early morning looting rampage in Chicago Monday, the city is deploying teams of additional police officers to protect commercial districts. The city is restricting access during overnight hours to high-end shopping areas. In baseball, the Nationals put a whipping on the Mets 16-4. The A's lost to the Angels 10-9. The Giants also lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Hey, Michael, thank you. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street, and it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump's end run around Congress fails to jolt the stalled relief talks. And the president says he's seriously considering a capital gains tax cut. And also, Joe Biden preparing for his vice presidential pick as early as midweek. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, thanks for being with us. Where do we stand with the stimulus talks?
Well,
It seems like things are stalled, very stalled, and there were really
We had this conversation yesterday, didn't we?
Of course, the day before. And the day before, you know, I think sometime midweek last week there'd been some kind of a glimmer of hope, I think we talked about, and then that quickly diminished. And, you know, really, it's just been situation stable since Trump took his action over the weekend unilaterally to, take some of these actions on his own without Congress. And I think that that has had the result of really leaving both sides very dug in on their position. And there really wasn't any indication yesterday that either side was looking to move from that position. So, you know, it sometimes this happens after, a real implosion and impasse in Washington, as we see kind of this deep freeze for several days. I would imagine that eventually lawmakers in the White House will move off that, but it may take a few more days.
What happened to these executive orders?
Well, you know, Trump did act over the weekend, and now he's talking about potentially taking even more action. He mentioned the idea of pursuing some kind of a capital gains tax cut. To do that, strictly speaking, would also require an action of Congress. But there's some indication out there that he could perhaps index to inflation, and that would be an action that he could take on his own potentially, although it would very likely face legal challenges. And that's another aspect to watch as well, is whether the actions that Trump already took over the weekend on the payroll tax and other things and on unemployment, whether that is also something that's going to face a legal challenge. And, you know, that's really the ball's in Democrats' court on that right now. And I think we're still sort of waiting to see how they respond there.
Let's move on to our next story with the Democratic presidential race. Joe Biden, he's preparing for his vice presidential pick as early as midweek. What details do we have about this?
Well, it sounds like Biden has, you know, completed the interviews and of all the top tier candidates. We know who some of them might be. And I think that while we don't really have much of an indication of which way in which he's leaning at this stage, it sounds like he is likely to make a decision in the coming days. You know, the Democratic convention gets underway less than a week from now on Monday. And so I think that if I had to bet, I would expect that we get a pick probably Friday or before. It's not that uncommon for Democrats and Republicans. We saw, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama wait until right before the Democratic convention to name their running mate. I think that we could get it as soon as today, but it could also be, you know, Friday or Saturday.
Who are some of the names that we're focused on at this point?
Well, the names have really been out there. Kamala Harris, the California senator, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Karen Bass, who's a representative from California, and then, of course, potentially Elizabeth Warren, who obviously ran for president, and Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. Those are some of the names that have been out there. And I think, you know, it just is a matter of which direction Biden wants to go in at this stage.
Is there any evidence that it really matters in the general election when you pick a vice presidential candidate, whether it helps you? It certainly can hurt you. I think back to George McGovern's pick. But can it really help in a general election?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I think that I found some interesting polling that came out over the weekend. I think it was a CBS News poll that indicated that, you know, perhaps in this election, it might not matter very much. I think it was about 40%, something at that level of Democrats who said that, you know, it didn't matter to them much who Biden ended up picking. I think in this election, it's very much going to be a referendum on Trump. In some ways, it matters less than in other elections that it's even Biden on the ballot as opposed to, you know, Trump. And so I think in this election, it may not end up mattering very much.
Nice to talk to you again. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM. HD2. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The White House and the Pentagon presented plans to help U.S. telecom companies build out new ultra-fast 5G networks by allowing commercial use of airwaves that had previously been reserved for military radar. The move will open 100 megahertz of spectrum to be auctioned by the Federal Communications Commission for sharing with companies. The Pentagon says it will continue to use the bandwidth, balancing commercial use with military needs. Amazon.com is making it easier for Prime subscribers to play games. The world's largest e-commerce company has given its more than 150 million Prime members access to free video game content. It eliminates a step that required them to link their Amazon account with one on Twitch, the company's live streaming subsidiary. The service, once known as Prime Twitch, is now called Prime Gaming and offers special in-game perks and free downloadable PC games. And add Tim Cook to the list of tech billionaires. The Apple CEO's net worth estimate is based on a Bloomberg analysis of regulatory filings and applying the market performance of a typical wealthy investor to his proceeds from share sales. Cook said in 2015 that he plans to give most of his fortune away and has already gifted millions of dollars worth of Apple shares. And that is this morning's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John?
And it's 6:55 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Amy Wilson's small business in Atlanta was in pretty dire straits when we last touched base back in April. Her Zone of Light studio is a multi-purpose space. It caters to private parties, weddings, and corporate events. And, of course, all that stopped with the pandemic. Now she's coordinating with local school districts to become a remote learning site. And Amy's back with us now. I'm happy to say, how does this work?
So the children will be required to bring their computer and their schoolwork for the day, and every day the parents are going to have to fill out a document that says what they need to be doing at what time. Every child will have headsets and be working on their schoolwork, and they'll be able to take their face masks off when they're in their seat, and they'll put on a face shield so that they can communicate with the teachers.
It's still remote learning for the schools, but it sounds like parents have banded together, those that can't be at home with their kids all the time, and relying on you to initiate the remote learning.
Yes. They'll be in school from 8 to 3, minus their little breaks, and then from 3 to 5, we'll have a sketch class for them, or we'll take them to the creek. But yes, we'll be totally supporting what they would be doing at school.
The revenue that you're going to make from this, is this enough to sustain you, this pivot?
It is definitely enough. We're still behind, don't get me wrong. But during the fall, usually we just have birthday parties and things like that, and then a big Halloween party. And so now, while we don't have those, we have the regular income of two-day-a-week children and three-day-a-week children and five-day-a-week children.
All right, Amy Wilson. She's the owner of Zone of Light Studio in Atlanta. Thanks and best of luck with the pivot here, Amy. And we're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic. Every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio, that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We are looking at risk on this Tuesday morning. S&P futures are higher now by 21 points. Dow futures ahead by 259. NASDAQ futures up 55 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield 0.60%. Yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% to $42.58 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 2% at $1,997.60 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. Up next for John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.